What happens when a leader fails to protect their own well-being? On today's episode, Mary Ellen Matsui shares her story of burnout from when she was CEO at Athma, an accelerator for education nonprofits and social enterprises. She details how, during her decade-long stint there, she experienced chronic burnout, which eventually meant that she was unable to lead her organization effectively. After much reflection and therapy, she realized that one of the most important skills a social entrepreneur can have is taking care of their own well-being. Hi, I'm Tanaya, and you're listening to Failure Files, a podcast by India Development Review, or IDR. Our show features highly relatable narratives of failure by people working on complex issues of social change. Their stories remind us that the path to resilience cannot be built on success alone. Failure is a necessary condition for it. And now, let's hear from Mary Ellen.
In February this year, I was asked to speak at a session about demystifying social impact careers. I was asked to say something vulnerable, to share some of my failures, and to talk about how, by living my values, I was able to move forward. I shared these lines by Scott Galloway. The best thing to happen is to win. The second best thing to happen is to fail quickly. The worst thing to happen is to fail slowly. I failed slowly. I failed to lead my organization effectively because I was burnt out and I did not know how to cultivate and protect my own well-being. I allowed random external voices to tell me what I should be doing. I benchmarked myself against the wrong external indicators, such as doing TED Talks or a coveted fellowship. My slow failure was not just listening to these voices, but allowing those voices to tell me who I was and to let them affect my self-image, my confidence, and my well-being. I've been running Athma for more than a decade now, and it has taken me a lot of slow failure to realize that to have a career in social impact, we need to be more than burnt out shells of ourselves. I am now loudly sharing my journey because I have seen how cultivating my skills in being well has improved my leadership, how I continue to see stress affect the entrepreneurs I work with, and why, if you really want to create impact, you need to build your capacity to take care of yourself. I am from Canada originally. I moved to Mumbai in 2007 as a very young person. I took over the operations of Athma at 26 and was able to grow our work from a niche consulting operation serving 4 organizations to a portfolio of more than 20 organizations at a time. We've created an online platform that has a membership of more than 400 nonprofits who attend our monthly webinars, built a consortium in the inclusive education space, and most recently created the Future of Impact Collaborative to support NGOs through the pandemic's impact on the social sector. Coming from Canada, however, I didn't have a strong support network initially. I had a lot of the wrong people around me whose advice was less weighty than their egos. This created major distractions from the mission of our organization. Trying to serve this mission while also trying to keep operations functional resulted in a confused set of performance standards for our people and the organization. I was holding myself and the people around me to the wrong standards. My time was spent trying to follow through on less than sound advice, reacting to donor requirements, and feeling envious of other organizations' team sizes, budgets, and scale plans, rather than reflecting on what my organization needed and what we were doing with the resources we had, which was a lot. All of this made me question myself. My self-confidence took a major slide, and I ended up depressed and suffering from panic attacks. In this state of self-doubt, I wasn't able to take the steps the organization needed. I didn't have the confidence to renegotiate deadlines with donors and take clear decisions on branding revision became nearly impossible. I was totally drained. This was, as I mentioned earlier, a slow failure. It took me a long time to move through this crisis period, which really came to a head in 2014. I was able to enter a space of stability by 2016, and it was really in 2019 when I began to thrive. Since then, Atma and I have moved far forward. I attribute much of my personal growth to therapy. I started therapy more than 2.5 years ago, and it unlocked a world of personal and professional transformation. It helped me not give into external comparisons and allowed me to draw boundaries around people who brought in negative external influences. It's still not all perfect. For example, last year, Atma's chief program officer went on maternity leave for 6 months. During that time, I was managing her as well as my roles. By the end of those 6 months, I was drowning in travel and work. One day, I came into sight of our office and burst into tears. Something was clearly wrong. I made a few emergency calls to my therapist and started spending a lot of time on the Headspace app. With help, I was able to move beyond the exhaustion. The major difference this time was that I knew I had help and the tools to move me forward quickly. What are the lessons to take from my experience? Know that prioritizing yourself is prioritizing your organization. If you are well, you will be able to serve your organization and team well. Being burnt out, like I was, is terrible. Terrible not just for you, maybe you can sacrifice yourself, but for your organization as well. Burnout makes you feel like you are constantly drowning, and it makes it exceedingly difficult to think of the organization's mission and see with clarity where change may be required. Practice a well-being-centric life. Well-being isn't just taking a vacation every so often. It involves having activities and tools that are a part of your everyday life and which you can lean on when you really need them. Talk about how you are feeling with people you can trust. The more effectively you can label your feelings, the sooner you can address them. Social entrepreneurs face immense amounts of stress, enormous workloads combined with the pressure of creating and sustaining a program in a community that you are most likely not from. And we are always looking for resources, be it funding, people, or partners. All this while managing the very real existential crisis in the question, are we creating an impact? It is important, therefore, to have a support group that you can trust and talk to as you're going through this arduous journey. Make well-being part of your team culture so that each team member has the tools they need to articulate their needs and address them. For me, burnout came from competing and comparing myself to others and overworking myself to reach some other external standard. For others, including team members, it could come from anger towards the external world or the organization for not acknowledging the impact of their work and overworking to gain this acknowledgement. Above all, listen closely to the people we are serving. To create impact, we need to put our own egos aside and instead figure out ways to serve our community's needs. That is what we need to focus on. Not the next TED Talk or the needs or ideas of external advisors. Most importantly, you are not going to get any of this right the first time. In order to make it through the ups and downs, you will need to build sustainable programs and an organization. But most of all, you will need to build sustainable life practices. There will be days that passion will not sustain you. There will be days when the smiling faces of children in classrooms just feels like work. It is a myth to tell ourselves otherwise. Not acknowledging this reality is dangerous. We set the wrong standards for ourselves, our teams, and entrepreneurs joining the sector. If you want to make a career in social impact, then remember that careers take place over decades, and you can't sustain burnout over decades and be successful. I did fail in managing my well-being, not just once, but repeatedly. And it is likely going to keep being something I struggle with. But today, I'm able to fail fast and recover faster on my journey to creating impact.
Failure Files is produced by Rachita Vora, Shreya Adhikari, and me, Tanaya Jagtiani. This podcast is part of a larger initiative at IDR, where alongside 15 partners, we're creating a space for candid conversations around failures and social impact. To read more about this growing movement, check us out at idronline.org. You can also share your own failure story with us at writetous@idronline.org. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.